We're the Good Neighbor Network, FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna, audio and video streaming at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. This morning on the program, we're going to be looking at traffic in the area. We have with us Sergeant Austin Watson. Good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Doing great. And you're the one who is in charge of coordinating the traffic issues with the Highway Patrol. Is that right?
Well, with the Sheriff's Office, yes.
With the Sheriff's Office?
Yes.
Okay, so you don't work at all with the Highway Patrol? Or...
So we do. My main job is to take care of our Tennessee Highway Safety Office grant. And part of that is our Rutherford County Traffic Task Force. So we're really fortunate to have a lot of agencies in this county that want to work together to stop fatal and serious injury wrecks, to include our friends over at the Highway Patrol, Murfreesboro City, Smyrna, Eagleville. You name it, any agency in this county, we work with them.
Very good. Mike Rogers is here also.
Yes, sir.
Good. How are you
here
today?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, and you're sort of in charge of all of that.
Well,
getting it all together.
So I supervise Watson, I guess technically on paper, but he does the work, you know. So sometimes they'll call and want me to help with some things, but really it's his baby, and he does a really good job taking care of everything.
Is the traffic situation, I know you've had some talks about that before on the radio.
Sure.
Has it improved much yet, or is still the same?
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting question. We were kind of looking at some statistics here right before we started talking, but the thing about Rutherford County is it grows so quickly and the population grows so quickly that if you just look at numbers on paper, of course they go up, you know, and that's not necessarily because it's getting worse, I guess, if that makes sense. It's just because it's growing so much, and with so many more people and so many more drivers and younger drivers and elderly drivers and so many different people on the road, there are increased number of crashes. But I do think that we do a good job when you look at your serious injury crashes and you look at your fatalities, and you can kind of see a downward trend in those. In spite of the total number of crashes going up, I think that shows success.
One thing really happened that sets that aside. Last week, the sheriff's office got a real honor. Share with us.
I'll let Watson tell you about it's his accomplishment. He did the work, so I'll let you kind of tell what all that is.
Sure. So the Highway Safety Office, which we work very closely with, they... We were awarded on their law enforcement challenge. Every year they put a challenge together, basically, hey, we can submit this for points. And that's a big, wide range. We talk about getting out in the communities, talking to teen drivers, older drivers, getting out, putting out radar trailers where we have hotspots, to putting out message boards. So it's a big community thing on top of training, incentive and recognition for our people. And we were fortunate to win in our category this year, 200 to 500 officers. And then as the Sheriff's Office of the Year, as we had the most points, we were awarded that as the Sheriff's Office of the Year for the Lifesavers Conference.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That is great.
It's a group effort. I may put it all together, but we have a lot of good men and women who go out there, do a good job, get in our communities, and really care about traffic safety and the people that drive on our roadways.
Are there any areas in particular, any certain areas of traffic that really have improved and also that concern you the most?
Well, we've really, the interstate is doing very well right now. We saw a big trend for probably 2 to 5 years where the interstate was becoming a very, very dangerous place to drive. Now, we're having issues on Las Casas Pike and Shelbyville Pike. We've had a few fatals this last week, but through some enforcement and education, we're hoping to curb that. And the least when we have less fatals, we have less statistics and more families that don't have to deal with that. So
the interstates have improved, but we've had some decline on Las Casas Pike and Shelbyville Pike.
Mm-hmm, unfortunately.
What do you think the reason is on that?
To be honest, I can't tell you right off the bat. Shelbyville Pike, a lot of that is people going to and from work. Shelbyville's becoming more of a bigger county itself, Bedford County. So you've got a lot of people that travel that way. You've got a lot of people that travel on Las Casas Pike. It's just, as Lieutenant Rogers said, we're seeing more and more people. And with more and more people, we have more people on the road. So,
and there is something, we've only kind of preliminary just looked at this the other day. Watson and I were looking at some statistics from Shelbyville Pike 231 South. And we were looking particularly at the intersection of Rock Springs Midland, which is they've built houses back in there in neighborhoods, and there's a crossover. When you want to come into town, you have to cross the highway and come back. And we started looking at the crashes there and kind of what's going on. And the biggest contributing factor, surprisingly to us, was elderly drivers.
Really?
And out by far, outweighed speeding drivers or DUIs, it was elderly. And so then I thought, well, let's look at the intersection of Walnut Grove, which is just the previous intersection, the same style intersection, just a little bit up the road. And again, the most contributing factor was elderly drivers. Now, we don't know why that is, or maybe like what the, we kind of have to dig into that and read in each of those individual reports to kind of try to figure out what's going on. And I don't know what that might be, but that just kind of jumped out. I've never seen anything like that before, and it was kind of interesting. I don't know. So
some countries have a limit as to how long you can drive.
So we don't.
We
don't have any sort of limit. The way that works is, if an officer, and in fact, it could be a family member, there's a form that you can submit to the state of Tennessee, and it basically just says you kind of provide a little paragraph about cause as to why you think that this person may not be able to drive. And what happens is it just triggers the state will send them a letter and they have to come and be evaluated and do their test again. So that's kind of how it just, as you encounter it, we kind of talk about it. But, to be honest, that's a very, very difficult thing for us to do as law enforcement. That's a tricky thing. But we are seeing, just like every other population or group in Rutherford County, if you will, there's a lot more elderly drivers now and generational also. The boomers are starting, they're starting to be fully retired and just drive, so I don't know that there's anything to that, but it does kind of jump out at you on paper. And I'm curious as to why that might be the case on that highway with those crossovers.
Now, when you earmarked the elderly drivers, what was it that caused them to create the issues?
That's right.
Because
exactly.
Just being old is not.
Well, so right. So when we do a crash report, obviously we're going to enter your driver information, which includes date of birth, and the computer will just, so all of our crash reports now are all on computers and it all goes into databases and it's all analyzed. And so it just spit back like, hey, here's something in common with all these crashes. But it would also, so there was a few indications of speeding drivers, which would indicate that potentially that crash was caused by a speeder. There was one that was a DUI, but overwhelmingly they were, and I don't know what the trigger is, if it's maybe 65 or...
So that, per the state, they report that as 65 and older.
Right.
So anybody who was involved with that age and older, that would be considered an elder driver.
What should family be doing to watch, to be sure that their family members are not creating issues and dangers?
So...
It's a hard one.
It is.
That's
very
hard
difficult.
One. Yeah. That's a case-by-case basis. If they are able to drive and they have full functions, sure. Some people can petition the state to say, hey, I have this older family member that I think, hey, needs to retest. So they can go to the Department of Safety and say, hey, this is what I think. I think what's best for them. And then they can retest and have that done. We also offer CarFit. That's through AAA. So we have people that can come look at older drivers' cars, make sure your blinkers are working, make sure your car is running correctly. We offer that as a service. to kind of help curb that, to make sure that those crashes weren't caused by a decaying vehicle because they don't have the means to keep their vehicle up.
And another really cool thing about that program is with the technology in cars now and the, you know, the infotainment centers and all the buttons and all the things, like the officers will sit with the person and say, you know, here's how the mirrors work. You know, here's how you adjust your seat. This is the memory seat memory functions, you know, and all the little knobs and dials and switches, and they can kind of help familiarize people with that if maybe that's confusing. Because I get in cars now and I'm like, well,
everyone's different.
Let me sit here for a while and figure out where the buttons are before I can even go anywhere. So it's a really cool program that we offer and maybe would help with that. But I don't know. I just think it's interesting, and we don't know if it's maybe the drivers on the straightaway or the drivers on the crossover or what that is.
But. So you're just right now at this point not looking at what's causing it, just the age factor is showing up.
Exactly. Well, what we ultimately want to know is what is causing it, and then what can we do about it? And it kind of jumped out at us, and we were like, if that is the case, you know, what do you do about that? How do you, you know, if it's speeding, I've got tools for that, right? If it's DUI, I've got tools for that. But if it's an aging community out that way, you know, I don't really know, other than just like he was saying, go out and offer some programs and talk to families and things. You know, I don't know how you.
Las Casas, Milton, that area.
So that's
they're not they don't have the corner on that, I wouldn't think. Is this something that you're finding across Tennessee and across the nation?
No.
Okay.
Elder drivers.
Maybe they do have the corner.
Yeah, elder drivers is the thing. A great thing about medicine is people live longer. We're going to see a trend, but I don't think we're there yet. I think your biggest problem ends up being your speeders and your impaired drivers. You know, you're driving a 4,000 or 5,000 pound vehicle at 80-90 miles an hour. That's where most of our crashes that we're seeing. But it's like Lieutenant Rogers says, it's interesting to keep a look at it to make sure that if there is a problem, that we get out in these communities and try to educate and help as best we can.
So do you think that we're very close to the time when there will be unoccupied taxis and vehicles to just take people around? That would solve it all.
Well, that's already a thing in some places.
Yes.
You know, it's here in our country, in certain states, they're that
already. I hear Texas is trying it.
It's already a thing.
But that would that solve your problem? Or as long as people don't run into those.
I think you probably
cars.
just change from one problem to another problem. I would think. I don't know that we can only speculate about that. But
yeah, I think about Back to the Future and all the old cool movies. They were like, oh, 2020 something, you'll be in all these cars. And yeah, technology is great, but technology has a limit. And I think you can't take away the human factor when driving. But if that's the way we are going as a society, that's something we'll have to look at, hopefully, you know, not a few years, but more years down the road.
Well, now, some people's cars are driving, though.
Oh, those Teslas are.
Absolutely.
They are amazing vehicles. I've seen them all over social media, but I don't think I could trust them.
They bring with their own challenges, you know, and not only in the police world, but maybe in the fire world, you know, and those, what do you do about crashes and battery fires and, you know, how do you tow those vehicles? Because the technology won't let us get in and start the car and put it in neutral like you would a traditional. You know, there's a whole different set of, but that's, you know, that's evolution, and that's what we'll have to figure out as we go.
And nowadays, a lot of the problems seem to be the other driver, especially on the interstate. You'll be driving down the interstate, which 4 lanes, 5 lanes, and soon more.
More to come.
Somebody decides to change lanes right in front of you. If you're on automatic and you're in a Tesla, say, how quickly can, maybe it'll react quicker than a human can. I don't know.
It does react pretty fast. But it only, on the face of it, it almost kind of seems more dangerous because the car will just hit the brakes and stop. You know, and so then the question, they were having a period of time, and I don't drive a Tesla, you know, but I know that there was a period of time where the car would, you know, how the tires come off the trucks and they're in the middle of the road, and
right.
The car would think, and it would slam on the brakes in the middle of the interstate thinking, you know, there's some kind of obstacle in the road that a traditional driver would go around or just kind of go over. And now you've got a car that's...
Well, those truck tires could...
Exactly.
Could cause quite a bit of trouble.
There's a whole different kind of ball of worms that come with...
Yeah.
So, we're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, if any of you have questions or comments about how do you tell your loved one, maybe you ought to consider giving up your driver's license.
It's tough.
That would, I mean, you're basically saying giving up your freedom. I mean, that's what it boils down to. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Don't throw away old flags. WGNS retires Old Glory with respect. Bring those tattered Bibles here, too. We're more than talk.
For home restoration at a price you can afford, trust the professionals at Farrah Construction to get the job done on time and within your budget. Farrah Construction can remodel your home or can update your kitchen, bath, or other rooms. I'm Ron Hall. If you can dream it, Farrah Construction can turn it into reality. Call Farrah Construction at 615-893-6120. Shop local. Let our family business help you. Farrah Construction Company.
At Budge Tire Pros, we sell all major brands of tires, and we invite you to stop by today for that next set of tires. Or maybe you need us to check out your vehicle before you head out of town. We offer everything from brakes to batteries, alignments, and more. No appointments necessary, just stop on by.
I'm Allison Mitchell with Bud's Tire Pros. We're located on East Main Street, exactly 3 miles from the town square, 1 mile past Rutherford Boulevard. Visit us online at budstireprostn.com.
We'll see sunny skies here this afternoon with a high in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 58. Thursday, sunshine high around 86. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 57.
Good morning. The police are still out here with a couple of accidents. Here's what we're seeing. Heavy traffic right on schedule, actually, for this time of the morning, coming in from Murfreesboro and Rutherford County on 24 westbound up through Antioch right now, passing Bell Road, Haywood Lane. Still some volume trying to get down Vietnam Vets coming westbound at Conference Drive, getting on that ramp to 65 south, headed on down into Madison. Prince's Hot Chicken has new items on their new menu. You got to check them out. You can order online, princesshotchicken.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Tire World's annual at-cost tire sale, simple instructions. First, get on the Tire World website. Next, shop and purchase your tires online or in the store. Now, schedule a time within the next 30 days to have your tires installed. This sale is literally that simple. It is easy, convenient, and saves you lots of money. That's because at Tire World, we don't put discount in our name. We put the discount in your pocket.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
We're News Radio WGNS, 100.5, 101.9, 1450, online and on your phone at WGNSradio.com.
Welcome back. Have you had to tell a loved one we need to take your keys away? Is there an easier way? I can't imagine there being an easy way to do that. That's got to be a rough way.
One of the hardest things that we do, and I think we try to stay away from that. I just thought it was curious that statistically out there on that one particular highway we were seeing some of that. So.
And it's only two highways that you're seeing that on?
Well, just the Shovel Pike, just the one highway, but two different intersections, which starts to kind of...
I thought you said Las Casas was having some issues.
Right. Well, as far as the aging drivers, we've only seen that on Shovel Pike for some reason.
Yes.
That is weird.
It's strange.
Yes.
Any particular area of Shelbyville Pike?
So where we're looking at is the two intersections, Rock Springs Midland, and then the next intersection up, which is Walnut Grove. Mm-hmm.
And that just makes
sense. It's an interesting thing, and if anybody's got ideas about why that may have been, we would love to hear that. It might just be some kind of weird anomaly, but we're always trying to figure out what's going on in the community, because you'll start to notice hot spots in the community, and some of them may be because of the way the road is constructed. And so then we have to look into, you know, partnering with the highway department to get that fixed. Or maybe we're having a DUI problem. So then we just want to overall reduce the number of crashes and the number of serious injuries. And so we're always trying to figure out what's going on.
Does the state have a group that can help you with that? The state of Tennessee, do they have a service that can help counties, determine what's causing this problem?
So not officially, I don't guess. And what we do, Watson was talking about earlier, the Rutherford County Traffic Task Force. So we will meet once a month, with all the different law enforcement agencies. And we do have TDOT will come, and the people that drive the hero trucks, and we will kind of discuss it. Some of the engineers will come, and we will just discuss those things and kind of cumulatively try to figure it out. But I don't know that there's a specific agency per se. Titan is really good about sharing the data and statistics, but it's kind of more of like a here's the data, kind of thing. They don't really, that I'm aware of, analyze and then roll out strategies kind of thing. It's kind of a here's the data, and use your expertise to figure it out.
Here's a question from a listener. She says, my father is in his 80s. He seems to be very aware of everything that's going on, and yet I'm really worried about his driving abilities. I don't want him to be hurt, and I don't want anyone else to be hurt.
Sure.
What can we do to be sure that he is a safe driver?
So, and what I want to emphasize is it really doesn't have to do with age. Statistically, when on the paper, it's going to kind of flag this category as age. But if age is just a number, and so if the person is functioning fine and you don't have any reason to believe, you haven't seen anything, you haven't heard anything, you haven't, they haven't been in crashes, then just because they're elderly does not mean you need to worry about their driving ability.
I've seen people in their 90s,
sure,
who are sharp as can be.
It's just a number. When I would start having those conversations is when maybe they've had multiple crashes, or maybe they've been stopped by officers for, going the wrong way, or maybe things that when you start seeing a trend, then we need to start having that conversation. But I wouldn't start those just because they're aging. I mean, we're all going to do that, and that's just a number. It doesn't really indicate any kind of danger or anything. But if those things start happening, what you'll start seeing is you'll start hearing them complaining about being pulled over. And many officers will kind of stay away from that, but you'll start hearing, well, the officer stopped me and I don't understand why, or maybe I've crashed into something, or maybe things like that. And when you start seeing those things, then you can have that conversation, and maybe you can ask the sheriff's office or the city police to kind of help them through that process. But I just want to be...
That's very delicate.
Yeah, I want it to be known that we don't think that just because you're aging, that doesn't mean you can't drive. That's not where we're coming from. And let's not start putting people on the hot seat just because they're elderly. Let's wait until we have a reason and we've seen some things that we can talk about.
And there's education stuff too. So I've actually pulled it up on my phone. If you go to the Tennessee Highway Safety Office website, which is THSO.org, they have a older driver safety spot that gives you approved driver education courses. When should I start asking these questions of, like she said, when should I start to have this conversation? And the state has all those resources online that we have access to too. That if they have questions, they're more than welcome to reach out to any department, and they will be able to try to help you. Because, like Lieutenant Rogers said, that's a hard topic and that's a sensitive topic. But we want to make sure that they're safe and that they don't become a statistic and that they are able to get around safely.
Here's a question. This listener says, "Wasn't there a class offered by AAA?" That gives you a discount if you're a senior citizen, if you take the class.
So I'm looking at it right now. Actually, under the additional resources, it's AAA Driver Improvement Courses for Seniors. AAA is a big part of that. They like to do yellow dot. They are big in the senior driver category.
What is yellow dot?
So yellow dot is a program where you can have basically a sticker on the back of your car, and that basically tells law enforcement, if I roll up to a crash and I see that they're an older driver and they may have some medical issues that I need to worry about. So when I assess that driver, they keep a packet inside their glove box. Mm-hmm. I can pull out that. I can go, okay, this is the known medical issues. This is the medications they take. And I can give that all to EMS, so we're not having to call family members and go, hey, what stuff do they have going on? It's able to be to treat those people on scene a little bit easier, and it gives law enforcement more information, contact information for family members and that kind of stuff, which as the sheriff's office, we do offer yellow dot.
Now, you mentioned that, I think you said last week that you had accidents with fatalities on both Shelbyville Highway and Las Casas Pike. Were they involving senior citizens?
No. So we had a single vehicle. On Las Casas, it was a single vehicle and a motorcycle. Shelbyville Pike was a motorcycle and a two-car collision. So those are the four that we've had in the last about 10 days on those roadways.
Is the motorcyclist the one that always loses?
Unfortunately, yes. The motorcycle involved in both were the fatal statistic on that one.
So there is a problem. It means, what is it, people not noticing the motorcycles, or are the motorcycles driving too fast? Or both?
We don't know exactly. The THP is still investigating that. So once they figure that out,
well, I don't mean that particular one. But.
Yeah, speed was an issue. Vehicles pulling out in front of them, so it could be a little bit of both. They didn't see them, and then their speed ends up causing a wreck.
Yeah. Historically, you see both.
Yes,
you see a chunk of motorcycle crashes that are motorcycle reckless driving type things, like you would imagine. And then the other half or so is people just didn't see the motorcyclist, you know, when they pulled in front of them or something like that. So you see both.
Here's a question from a listener. They said that a few years ago, they used to see motorcyclists riding on their rear wheels. That was a big thing, and that caused some accidents then, but, sure. But they don't hear about it anymore. Did people quit doing that?
I don't know that they quit doing it. it's automatically considered reckless driving now. I don't know. Just the simple action of doing that now is considered reckless driving. I don't know that they're not doing it necessarily as much as we
don't see them wrecking and or doing it in front of us.
There you go. That's
but you definitely see it on social media and those types of things where people are certainly still.
Well, the one thing you see a lot on social media is the motorcyclist trying to outrun the police officers. That's a real day occurrence, I guess.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. They they sometimes will try to bait you and try to run from you, and, I mean, that's their choice.
Bait you?
Yeah.
They want you to chase them?
They want you to chase them, yes. So that's what they're trying to outrun us, and, you know, that's their choice. We have certain policies and procedures, but, you know, if you want to be going 150 miles an hour, that's on you.
Wow. So, and they eventually, I guess, will stop.
Eventually.
Well, they've had some success with THP and their helicopter getting involved in those kinds of things, and we won't overtly chase them, but the helicopter will follow them until they stop, and then we'll handle business then. You know, so... Yes. We have other ways of taking care of things with all the license plate readers and cameras, and, you know, it's, we're not going to overtly get into a vehicle pursuit with a motorcycle and a patrol car because it's crazy dangerous to everybody involved, the rider and us and all the other public and everybody involved, but we will figure out who the people are and take care of it other ways.
I'm glad to hear that we are using the helicopters. Because sure. It just makes sense.
Sure.
It just, sure. Why not just stop the pursuit and ride the helicopter, and you can't get away from that.
Sure, yeah.
They've got better lanes in the sky than we do. That's right. On the road. That's for sure.
So if there's one thing that you wanted to get across to the driving public today, what would that be? What message would you want to get out?
So the biggest message right now, and we're in the middle of the Tennessee Highway Safety Office Labor Day Booze It or Lose It. So we see a lot of impaired driving crashes this time of year and impaired drivers. We just want people to be aware, like, please don't drink and drive. Please don't use drugs and drive. And we also want people to slow down. We want to not speeding in a crash. The more you speed, the more violent it's going to be. I mean, everybody knows that. So we ask you to please slow down. Please pay attention. Stay off your phone while you're driving. I know that's hard nowadays, but please give your time and attention to the road, because as we have seen an increase in fatalities, it's hard to go tell families that a family member has died, and especially if speeding or impaired driving is involved. We don't want to have to do that, and we don't want more statistics on our roadways.
That has to be the hardest part of your job.
Those are not fun at all. And, you know, when you hear family members break down and all that, and you've had to tell them a family member dies and it could have been avoided, it's hard. So we ask people to help us curb fatalities by driving the speed limit, wearing your seatbelt, staying off your phone, and not driving impaired.
Well, as we head toward Labor Day and things of that sort, summer supposedly will be over. Does the driving improve, or do we have fewer people on the roads?
So as we look at each other, it's historically and statistically our hardest part of the year is between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
So we're heading toward that.
We're heading towards, usually for at least Rutherford County, our hardest part of the year and where we see most of our fatals is between Thanksgiving and New Year's, because most people are taking time off for the holidays. There's a lot of family gatherings. So people that we see those kind of increase.
So be aware the worst is yet to come.
Unfortunately, yes. Hopefully not.
We went through the 100 worst days of driving, and now you're saying this Thanksgiving is going to top it.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to top it, but historically we have seen that. We tried to use our saturation money to curb that, but unfortunately that is what we tend to see in the statistics.
It's a full-time job trying to keep up with statistically likely times for crashes and how we can intervene and try to reduce those.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about your safety, driving safety. We're also talking about some surprising new developments here in Rutherford County, in that it looks as if senior drivers may be causing an inappropriate share of fatal accidents in the area, or just accidents, period. What do you do about that? We will continue the conversation from the Rutherford County Sheriff's Office. Lieutenant Mike Rogers and Sergeant Austin Watson will be right back.
It's the Boys of Summer. You're listening to Rutherford County's home of the Atlanta Braves. I'm Ben Ingram, and this is News Radio WGNS, Murfreesboro, Smyrna.
Tire World's annual at-cost tire sale, simple instructions. First, get on the Tire World website. Next, shop and purchase your tires online or in the store. Now, schedule a time within the next 30 days to have your tires installed. This sale is literally that simple. It is easy, convenient, and saves you lots of money. That's because at Tire World, we don't put discount in our name. We put the discount in your pocket.
At Tire World, we keep your family rolling.
Hi, this is Amanda from Animal City, and our hand-fed baby bird nursery is starting to fill up. If you are looking for your next sweet feathered companion, come in and see us. Find your next pre-loved, pre-spoiled pet here at Animal City. Be sure to check out our downstairs level. Here at Animal City, we would like to thank Murfreesboro for letting us be your family-owned and operated pet store for 33 years. Animal City is located at 919 Northwest Broad Street.
Are you tired of constantly spending money on sprays and other things to control mosquitoes around your home? If so, come by Holden Hardware and get the Spartan Mosquito Eradicators. When used properly, the Spartan mosquito eradicators will kill mosquitoes. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan mosquito eradicators. This year, make mosquito control easier and cheaper. Come by Holden Hardware on the square and get the Spartan mosquito eradicators.
This is Peter Demas at Demas's Restaurant. One of the other things that we're doing on the remodel is that we're putting in ceiling tiles that have a high absorption for sound and be able to enjoy their meals with their families. We're bringing a lot of the green back, and we're bringing back retro light fixtures. We've added a wall while updating the look and making it a lot more fresh. Now that you've heard about the changes that we're making at Demas's, you need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street.
Bob Ferris lives at Adams Place.
The personnel here are excellent, and they are concerned about your well-being. Yes, they're always asking you how are you doing and what can I do to help you, and it's a blessing.
Hi, this is Terry Deal at Adams Place. Call me for more information about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Adams Place, 1927 Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
We're excited to announce that Capstar Bank is now officially a division of Old National Bank. The friends you've made while banking right here over the years are still here, and so are those delicious, warm, homemade cookies. Everything you enjoyed about Capstar is still at Old National Bank.
In Murfreesboro at 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard.
Come on over and enjoy warm cookies with friends while doing your banking at Old National Bank.
Old National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We're loud. We're proud. We're blue. WGNS AM and FM, your home for the Middle Tennessee Blue Raiders.
Labor Day is just around the corner, and that always presents challenges to you. You've got some special programs to make that safer for us. Share with us some of that.
Sure. So during Booze It and Lose It campaigns, we have increased saturation patrols. So deputies will go out. The task force also has those options as well. And the big thing is to keep impaired drivers off the roadways. The Booze It and Lose It campaign, remember, intoxication is just not alcohol. Remember that drugs can cause impairment. I think I talked about that last year when I was here with you. So we just want to make sure that we don't see an increased DUI crashes, and that we can keep people safe on the roadways, and that we have enforcement out to kind of help curb that.
So we're about almost 2 weeks away. Not a little bit less than that, but almost 2 weeks until Labor Day, which is September the 2nd.
Sure.
So what advice would you have? Stay off the roads, don't go anywhere?
No, we want people to enjoy their time, but we want them to enjoy it and not drink and drive. If you're going to go to a party, have a sober driver. If you're going to, you know, go out on the lake, maybe, you know, stay there for the night. Do what you want. It's a great way to celebrate. Everybody likes having a day off. Everybody likes not having to go to work. But please just make good choices. We talked about fatalities. We don't want to see an increase in impaired driving and fatalities that come with DUI crashes.
So reduce your road time.
Yes. If you're going to drink and drive, please, or drink, don't drive.
Okay.
I said that. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Got too fast for myself. There you go.
People just don't get that. I mean, this message, if we had turned the time back 40 years, it'd probably be the same message.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, and the other thing to throw in there is to wear your seatbelt. This is not a seatbelt campaign that we're talking about right now. However, and this is statistic rabbit hole again, but we do see that nearly half of the... So there's many different factors that contribute to why a crash occurred. But then there are also factors that contribute to why a person may or may not survive that serious crash. And about half the time, the people that are not wearing the seatbelt are the ones that perish. So simply wearing your seatbelt will likely save you in those crashes. Now, there's always an argument of, well, you know, I could be trapped, or, you know, there's always that the seatbelt makes it worse argument. But in the overwhelming majority of the crashes, the people that do wear their seatbelts are the ones that survive, and the ones that don't are ejected, and it makes things much, much worse. So I'll say that, and then I'll kind of get on my soapbox like I always do when I come. I feel like in driving and crashes and in all the traffic safety world, if we would just be more patient and we would be understanding of each other, it would be a much better experience and a much safer experience for everybody. If we just would kind of relax a little bit and take our time and get to where we got to get and give each other a little bit of grace, I think that it would be a much better community.
Mike, I remember one of the times you were on, you brought up the fact that, and this was during COVID, that people were not seeing the traffic on the interstate, so they were speeding up.
Sure, sure.
Did they ever slow down after, I mean, because I think you said that they continued to speed.
Well, the trick was there wasn't as much volume on the roadway so that they had clear lanes and they could go faster. And I think now that the volume has picked back up, it's harder to go faster. But if they have the opportunity, they still will. And that's kind of where I'm coming with that point. You know, if you, and I calculated it at one point, and I don't remember, but if you leave like Old Fort Parkway on 24 and you go to Nashville and you set the cruise control on, there's no other cars on the roadway, and you set the cruise on 70 miles an hour, and you can go 70 miles an hour from Old Fort to Nashville, it would take you so many minutes. However, if you were to take that same car and set the cruise on 95 and you could do it the whole way, you would only save yourself like 3 minutes of travel time.
So you think you're saving time,
so,
and you're not.
So the point is, with when you put all the traffic back in there and you can only go 90 for, you know, half a mile, and then you got to slow down, and then you go 90 again and you got to slow down, like over the course of that trip, all that aggression and all of that stress and all of that anxiety that you've put upon yourself and all the other drivers around you, you've really probably saved yourself 45 seconds of travel time. And
so
it just doesn't
yourself.
Make sense. So set the cruise and listen to a podcast and just like, hey, it's going to take me some time. I can't just get to Nashville next minute. It's going to take some time to commute and just enjoy the drive, you know, and like, why, it just doesn't make sense to me. There, if you do a cost benefit analysis, there's no benefit to going that fast. You're not saving any time. You're not getting there any faster. So then what is it? You know, that it just, sorry. Okay. I said I would get, now I'll get off my soapbox.
We have a text here from a listener. They said that they just finished getting into Nashville. They drove there this morning. And the traffic was bumper to bumper when they were going.
Sure.
And they were using the HOV lane. There were people with them in the car.
Sure.
And they kept seeing the trailer trucks getting into the HOV lane. Should that happen?
Well, that's my other soapbox. So, the trucks are supposed to stay in the two right lanes. You know, and it's very, very difficult to enforce because we're just not out there to do it. They do have the right to pass. You know, other vehicles, they can't for any reason get in the HOV lane. You're not supposed to be over there unless you have two occupants more anyway. But the trucks are a huge contributing factor. Even when traffic is flowing well, when they get over into those left lanes and now you've got cars that are trying to go all around, you know, it's a mess. And the other thing, and I'll say real quick, we do have in Tennessee what's called a slowpoke law. And what that basically says is that you cannot be over there in the far left lane unless you're actively passing somebody. So what you'll see is a car that's in that far left lane and they've got their crew set on 70 miles an hour and they're telling themselves, I'm going the speed limit, I can be here. And you've got 10 cars backed up back behind them. You could be given a ticket for that. The state has says the law says it does not matter of speed. You cannot be in that left lane unless you're passing. And the reason for that law is what you'll have is those 10 cars behind them will slam on the gas and go way over into the right-hand lane and go around everybody, and that causes crashes. So what they're saying is just get over. And if we can't, it's hard for us to control the speed, so let the cars go by. And it's actually safer to let them go by instead of just parking in the left-hand lane and causing those congestions. And then the trucks and then the impatience and the causes the road rage, causes the shootings, causes the, so just move over.
This is a wild time that we're living in. So. Now So if you have questions about any of the topics we've talked about this morning, whether it's driving in the HOV lanes or speeding or senior citizens causing accidents, or what to do if you're worried about your senior citizen, can they call you at the sheriff's office for advice?
Sure, absolutely. And go ahead.
That's what I'm here for. Like I said, I'm the big traffic guy here. You can call dispatch. They will send you over to me, and I will be happy to talk to you at any time.
Just say, I need Sergeant Austin Watson.
That's it.
I need him in a hurry.
Help. That's right. So I'd be happy to talk to anybody.
Thank you both for joining us. Sergeant Austin Watson with us and Lieutenant Mike Rogers. And by the way, if you missed any of this broadcast and want to hear it again, and maybe you just wanted to be sure you heard what you thought you heard, it is in podcast format, or it will be in a few minutes, on our website and also all of the podcast locations throughout the world, all of them. So you'll find it under the Action Line, WGNS Action Line. Hey, have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.